If you want to improve in any era, you need area, you need to shadow someone who's further down the road than you, who is better than you at that particular experience. When our daughter Tori, who's here with us from LSU today, so glad to have Tori here with us. She's a junior at LSU, but growing up, she was in cheer all the time and then went to Klein High School as a cheerleader 4 years in a row, was on the normal squad and then the competitive squad. In addition to that, she went to what's called privates. Do you know what that is, parents and grandparents? Privates. That is, aside from your team, aside from your squad, there's additional one-on-one encountering coaching that you can receive to take your skill to a new level. And so every week, Tori, in addition to all that she was already involved in, would go for privates every week. Our son Austin's now a sophomore at Klein High School on the baseball team. They're 9-0, just saying. Undefeated season. He bats second, left fielder. And Austin has, I think, some of the best coaching, amazing coaching, a great team. And these men invest in his life and pour into his life. He's had good coaching all of his life. People invest in his life. But every single week, Austin still goes for private batting lessons with a former MLB player. Why? There's just something about shadowing someone who's an expert. There's something about being coached by someone who is further down the road and more developed in that specific area. Now, I want you to pull all this together. Let me ask you this question. If you wanted to take your prayer life to a whole new level of experience, to whom would you turn? Who is it that has the capacity and the credibility to teach you to go to a new level in your prayer life? Well, the answer is simple. The same person the disciples turned to, his name, say it with me, is Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of what a prayer life ought to look like. Now, this morning, and I've been looking forward to this new series, we're launching a new series on prayer over the next 3 Sundays, and the title is Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to examine Jesus' practice of prayer, and we're going to glean from his life in order for our prayer lives to go to a new level. Now, I want to invite you to join me in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. If you look in your Bibles, if you have your smartphone with you, go to your Bible app and your smartphone and go into Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now, those of you who like Twitter, raise your hand. If you like Twitter, raise your hand. Wave at me. You like to tweet in church. I'm giving you permission. If there's a quote you really like, I want you to tweet it, okay? And put at CFBC North. That's our handle, our Twitter handle for our North Campus. Just put at CFBC North. And if you want to use my Twitter handle, it's at Stephen Trammell, 2 M's, 2 L's, at Stephen Trammell. You can post quotes because we're just going to get the gospel out. We're going to leverage technology to get the gospel out. Now, if you're on your phone doing something else, you are sinning against God. But I'm giving you permission to post quotes as long as they're accurate. So here's our question I want us to have some fun with. What can we learn from Jesus' practice of prayer? What can we learn from Jesus' practice of prayer? And we're in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Notice what God's word says. Now, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Of all the questions that could be presented to the Son of God, the Messiah, the disciples just simply wanted to know, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to be able to pray like you do. We want to be able to encounter God like you do. We want a prayer life like your prayer life. Lord, teach us to pray. So what can we learn from Jesus' practice of prayer? Number one, make prayer a priority. And that's on the backside of North Campus News and the sermon listening guide. Here's your statement. Make prayer a priority. Make prayer a priority. When you study the life of Jesus, it's so evident that prayer was top priority, that he would guard his prayer time along with the Father. I love Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning, you know Jesus was a morning person. It doesn't mean you have to be, but the Lord was a morning person. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So Jesus made it part of his habit. It was a keystone habit that he would daily awaken early, get away, and he loved nature, so he would encounter God outdoors. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, he would find that place of solitude where he could engage in this practice and priority of prayer. Now notice in your notes, Jesus is our model to follow. If you want to go to the next level in your prayer life, and I would assume that everyone in here with me would acknowledge there's room for improvement, that all of us can grow in our prayer lives. Well, then here's who we look to, Jesus, because Jesus is our model to follow. He made prayer a top priority. There's a book I'd recommend to you, and it is by Gary Thomas entitled Sacred Pathways. Just a fascinating book where Gary gives you a description of the different pathways to God. And it's not that you get to God a different way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. We know that. That speaks of salvation. But Gary Thomas talks about how God has wired us to best connect with him. And he gives 9 sacred pathways. For example, if you like to listen to worship music during your quiet time and prayer time, then that's one of your sacred pathways. If you like solitude and you can have total silence and no distractions, that's how you best connect with God, that's your sacred pathway. If you like the outdoors and you best connect with God in prayer by being outside, that's your sacred pathway. Maybe it's when you're fishing or playing golf. Don't take it too far. These sacred pathways, what's very evident in Jesus' life, his sacred pathway was outdoors. He loved to be outdoors and engage his Heavenly Father in prayer. There's another concept I mentioned a moment ago, keystone habits. If you will allow prayer to become a keystone habit in your life, what that means is that habit will cause a chain reaction. Let me give you an example. If a keystone habit in your life is working out daily, physical fitness, that habit has a chain reaction. If you get up early in the morning and you go to the gym to work out and you carve out that time to do that, you sacrifice to make that a priority in your life, then whenever you go to lunch that day, you're going to be more conscientious about what you eat because of your sacrifice that morning to get healthy. So working out in the morning is a keystone habit that has a chain reaction. The same is true for your prayer life. Your prayer life becomes a keystone habit. And through your prayer time alone with God, God is giving you his heart, his mind, so that as you live your life throughout the day, you begin to view people through the eyes of God. You begin to treat people the way Jesus would treat them. Why? Because you had a keystone habit. You spent time in prayer, and God did a work in your life that totally revolutionized how you interact with people the rest of the day. A keystone habit. I love this statement. Praying is like flying. When you stop, you drop. What about your prayer life? Have you stalled out? Are you soaring in your prayer life? Or has your prayer life been grounded? It's not too late to resurrect your prayer life. It's not too late to make prayer a keystone habit. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with. Have you made room in your life for prayer? Have you made room in your life for prayer? And what adjustments do you need to make in your life to create space for spending time in prayer? How many of you commute to work? Would you raise your hand? You commute, you've got a commute that maybe is longer than 3 minutes, and you wonder, how am I going to fill this time? One of my dearest friends from my previous church I served in Baton Rouge, he was the chairman of the pastor search committee that called me there in 2000. It's hard to believe it was 15 years ago. And he just talked about his commute. He had a long commute when he was working. And he talked about whenever he would just be driving to work and fighting traffic, he just would visualize Jesus being in the passenger seat. He'd turn the radio off, everything be quiet, and he would carry on a conversation with this empty seat because he just said, you know, I'm just talking to Jesus. I know he's with me always, and so I just acted as though he is in the passenger seat, and I carried on a full-blown conversation that looked pretty funny at red lights. If you commute, you can maximize your commute time by just spending time praying. It's solitude. There's no interruptions. It's time that you can really leverage for God's glory in prayer. Because here's the bottom line. You've heard me say this because it's so true. You make room for what you value. Would you write that down? That's a good word. you make room for what you value. Now, let me ask you this question. Is prayer worth your time? Because it's more than just prayer. It's a relationship that you're nurturing through prayer. Is it worth your time? So the first step is make prayer a priority. Then the final step I want to share with you this morning is number two, maximize the access you have been granted. Maximize the access you have been granted. Now, we're going to have a good time with this concept. I love this. Have you ever had the opportunity to meet someone famous? Have you ever gone to a concert and you just had normal tickets, but you ran into somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who could get you backstage? And all of a sudden, you were so pumped about this particular concert because though you were going to sit in the nosebleed section, you knew we're going to go backstage, we're going to go see them, we're going to meet them. Well, Tanya and I had the wonderful opportunity to meet some famous people, Duck Dynasty. And it was so much fun. Now, I've told you a little bit about Tori and Austin. I've got to tell you this. We hosted Duck Dynasty, as you know, at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Thousands of people came. It was sold out. But we had this pre-VIP dinner with the Duck Dynasty crew. You got your picture taken with the family. Wonderful time. And so I met Sadie, you know, the teenage girl. And I just had an inspirational moment. Have you ever had those? Now, it was just Tanya and me. Austin couldn't join us. So I thought, I'm going to call Austin. So I called. I said to Sadie, I'm going to call my son. Would you like to talk to him? Just saying. You know, we still believe in prearranged marriages around here. And so I remember giving her the phone. It's ringing, and Austin answers the phone, and it's Sadie. And at first, he didn't believe it until she had that sweet voice. Hey, Austin. I mean, it was really sweet. And then Austin's friend was with him, and he got on the phone, and he's like, I love you, Sadie. I love you. I mean, like, really messed up the moment, but it was still funny, okay? So they had the backstage experience via a cell phone, but Tanya and I got to visit them and meet them. It was just such a special experience to get to hang out with Duck Dynasty. Can I share something with you? In Christ, you have been granted access to the creator of the universe. The one who created that famous person, the one who created Duck Dynasty, the one who created someone you would just love to meet or spend time with. I want to go above them and tell you, in Christ, you've been granted access to the creator of the universe. I love Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us then with confidence, here's our phrase, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James 4, 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you realize that in Christ you have direct access to the creator of the universe and you have the privilege to draw near to him? And he promises as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Would you write that in your notes? Simply draw near to God. That's a decision you make moment by moment, day by day. Draw near to God. And I want to challenge you as you take your prayer life to a new level to eliminate distractions. Learn how to focus your attention on the magnitude of the moment. Just remember as you're praying who you're talking to, that you're addressing the creator of the universe in sacred communion called prayer. And I want to challenge you to maximize the moment. Don't take for granted that you have the audience of one who is dialed in and tuned in and knows you by name and loves you and is for you and has built the ultimate love bridge to bring you into relationship, to reconcile you to himself so that you can be one with God and have immediate direct access to him. So what are you doing with the access you've been granted? Several months ago, I was in my sacred space, my sacred place, my place of solitude, where I have my quiet time every morning. It's in our den by the fireplace. I have a recliner in the corner with a light here and a little table. I get my coffee going, got my Bible, my iPad, and a journal. And that's where I had my daily quiet time. And it was just a few months ago during the time of the year where obviously birds were migrating toward us. And I kept hearing this distraction. It was so funny that I took my iPhone and I videoed it. I want you to notice the distraction. Notice on the screens. Very interesting. Surely he won't do it again. He's too smart. Not again. Now let me ask you this question. What was this bird trying to do? He was trying to get inside. He was trying to access the den. He wanted to come into the Holy of Holies, but access was denied. But he wouldn't give up. He kept pursuing. He kept trying. He kept trying to come through the glass, and he got stopped every time. And then he did go to heaven soon thereafter. So here's my question. What are you doing with the access you've been granted? What are you doing to maximize this God moment, this invitation that God's invited you into this sacred communion called prayer? What are you doing with the access you've been granted? Because the reality is you determine the level of intimacy with God. You determine the level of intimacy with God. If you ever go through a season of life, a phase of life where you feel like God is distant, God is so far, who moved? Not God. You did. You draw near to God, he draws near to you. You determine the level of intimacy with God. We see this in such an intimate portrait in Jesus' final moments upon the earth in his darkest hour, Luke 22:44. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember the prayer? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Speaking of his death, his crucifixion, knowing that he would take on the full wrath of God for the sins of the world, that he would become the atonement for our sin. And Jesus was crying out to our Heavenly Father, is there any other way to accomplish redemption? Is there any other way to bring salvation to the earth? And then he prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Dr. Luke, the physician, in Luke 22:44 says, and being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. And notice, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was in such anguish and torment even before the cross on our behalf that he experienced what has become known in this as a medical condition, hematidrosis, where extreme anguish causes capillaries to dilate and to burst, mixing sweat and blood due to the trauma and intensity. That Jesus, his sweat became like great drops of blood because of the intensity of his prayer exchange with Almighty God on our behalf. You want to talk about an intimate portrait of prayer life? It's when you come to that place in your prayer life where you can bear your soul before a holy God. I know for me, after my parents' divorce when I was 7, it just drew me to go into a prayer life of just bearing my soul before God. And this was even before I became a Christian, which was just around age 10. But even after my parents' divorce, just in that season, I remember just crying out to God because I was so broken and hurting. And my dad was just going through such a difficult time with his alcoholism and in our life and out of our life. And then sentenced to prison for 5 consecutive DWIs. And I remember being able to run to God. And in brokenness and humility before Almighty God, I could bear my soul in prayer. And that's the beauty of the intimacy with God through prayer, is that you come to God as you are. You can bring your frustrations. You can bring your questions. You can bring your fears. You can bring your anxieties. You can bring your pain, your difficulties. When life doesn't make sense, when you experience a delay or a detour, you bring all of that to God in prayer. and you have unlimited, unbroken access to Almighty God, and you can bear your soul and your pain in prayer to Him. I want to give you this statement. I have it in your notes for you because it's such a testimony of my life. That prayer is the safest conduit of communication. Prayer is the safest conduit of communication with the one who knows you best and the one who loves you most. There is not a person on the planet that you will talk to that will be more intimate. There's not a person on the planet that you will talk to who knows you more or loves you more than our Heavenly Father. And I want to invite you into this prayer journey of taking this sacred communication called prayer to a new level in your life. It doesn't mean that you learn these amazing words and address God, O our Heavenly Father, beeth thou come unto me. You don't have to know the King James Version language. You come to God as you are in brokenness, in humility, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross is what grants you access, and God knows your heart and sees your heart, and you're expressing your heart to God through prayer. And you'll feel God's touch on your life. God's presence will overwhelm you. His comfort will envelop you. And He'll invite you into this amazing prayer journey that will take your prayer life to a whole new level. So what are you doing with the access you've been granted? Here's a life point. Prayer is aligning your heart with the heart of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is aligning your heart with the heart of God. It's not about your agenda, it's about His. It's not about your ambitions, it's about His. It's not about your mission on the earth, it's about His. And prayer brings you into alignment with the heart of God. So what about you? If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you have immediate, direct access to our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. His line is never busy. He'll never put you on hold. You have unbroken, unhindered access to Almighty God. So if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, here's my first question for you. Are you willing to make prayer a priority in your life? Are you willing to do that? To make prayer a priority, you've got to create space for prayer. And you've got to seize those God moments. It doesn't have to be 3 hours or 30 minutes or 45 minutes. It may be 2 minutes here, 3 minutes here. But you're seizing those moments to commune with God through prayer. Number two, are you willing to maximize the access you've been granted and not take it for granted, but maximize the access you've been granted by God? Now, here's your assignment. I'm going to challenge you to memorize the Lord's Prayer. Many of you already know it. You could say it right now, couldn't you? It's in Matthew chapter 6. Now, because all of our campuses preach from the ESV, the English Standard Version, that's what I'm going to be preaching through, is that version of the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to challenge you to memorize the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 begins with Our Father. Say that with me. Our Father. You've got it. We could do the whole thing right now, but we've got to save it for next Sunday. If you're an unbeliever, if you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never had what we call a divine transaction, turning from sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, before you can have access to God, you have to be made right with God. So here's what I want to ask you. If you're an unbeliever and searching for God and searching for truth, you're in the right place. Would you like to come into relationship with the Creator of the universe and be forgiven of your sins and receive the gift of eternal life? And this morning, if you say, Pastor Stephen, that's where I am. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to receive this gift of eternal life. I want to have the assurance that if I were to die tonight, that I would go to heaven. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if you want eternal life, you must have the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So how can I know? By believing. Believe that Jesus is God's son. Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt in full and purchase your salvation. Place your faith in the completed work of Jesus on the cross, and you will receive the gift of eternal life, and you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. The good news, your sins will be placed as far as the east is from the west. Jesus will remove your sins. He will empty you of your sins, cleanse you from all your sins and unrighteousness, and then he deposits his righteousness into your account. So then when God sees you, he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. And he who is set free by the Son of God is set free. And you become a child of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're filled by the Spirit of God, not 2 weeks later, not 2 hours later, not 2 minutes later, but instantaneously. The Spirit of God moves in to take up residence in your life, and he makes you fit for his habitation. Your inner man is now fit for heaven. Your body doesn't go to heaven, but your soul does. Your inner man is fit for heaven, and one day you'll receive a glorified body, and we praise God for that. We're looking forward to that. But the good news is, in Christ, you're made fit for heaven right now because of what Jesus did for you on the cross.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.